here we are with episode 28 of Sean Hammer. My apologies go out to all of you for being a little bit of a wait for the next episode, but I've had some family illnesses and such. And I'd like to give a shout out to my mom, and I hope she's feeling well and hope to have her home soon. So here we are on this episode 28, and today our focus is going to be using alternate models in the game's Warhammer Fantasy Battles. We can pretty much take this on to 40K as well, but I'm just going to just focus on the fantasy battles right now. I got a few, I got a little article I want to go over on the new Tales of Battle, number 7. We'll be going over the new White Dwarf 365, which is kind of a bummer, but what do you do? They all can't be winners. And as we're waiting on the new release of Warhammer 8th Edition, it puts us kind of on a standstill of going over some army books. My next goal was to do Bretonians, but we're gonna put a halt on that. So let's go ahead and first go over what's been going on in the hobby area for myself. Well, my wife is painting her Malifaux pieces, and they are looking pretty great. I base coated my Malifaux pieces. I got the Ortega clan, sorry. I have a little brain fart right there. And not doing too much of my wood elves, but want to get finished. That's about it in the hobby aspect, outside of just buying different magazines. I got a couple books for my birthday just recently. I got the new Thousand Sons book, the second part of the Nagas series, and the Stormtroopers. I think it's called Redemption Corps. It's in my bag. I could look at it, but I believe that's what I got. Those were birthday presents from my beautiful wife. And most importantly, I'd like to actually announce Sean Hammer's new sponsor, Avatars of War. This right here, boys and girls, is a pretty sweet sight. This company offers alternative miniatures for Warhammer Fantasy Battles or other fantasy type games, although they really do fit the weapon style and look of Warhammer Fantasy. They're spectacular looking figures. I do have a link on the show website to their website. They're based out of Spain, and they also do a their figures can also be used in a game they have that stands alone for themselves called Arena Deathmatch. I haven't gotten a look at that, and I'm waiting for email back, and maybe we'll have the guys from Avatars of War on the site, and we'll go over their game and how they got started, and go over some of their cool sculpts. So hopefully pretty soon I'll have a couple of figs to put out as contests for contest winners out there, and we share the love in the Avatars of War figures. Speaking of contests, don't forget that on the 12th, the Dreadnought competition is over. I have plenty of emails. You guys are emailing me, but I'm not getting any more iTunes reviews. And the actual two parts of the contest was an iTunes review and also an email giving me ideas how I can improve the show. So if you want to win yourself a Dreadnought from the Assault on Black Reach, go ahead and leave me an iTunes review. And go ahead and give me an email at SeanHammer9.com. Oh, not numbers, Sean. I screwed that. The pooch working on getting my own URL. Sorry. SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. That would be the correct one. Another shout-out goes to the guys at the Wodcast. I just recently got email from Joe Flesh, and his partner in crime over at his website is Chuck. And they're going to give me a shout-out on the show, and I want to tell you guys if you like what I'm doing and you want to listen some, if you haven't already checked them out, you can check out Joe and Chuck on the Wodcast, and I link that to the on my site as well. And they got some pretty sweet pictures of what's going to come in the Warhammer Fantasy Battles 8th Edition. They have some pictures and conversion prices from the euro or the pound. I forgot which one it was. Not our money in the United States, but and some of the templates and everything look friggin' fantastic. Hopefully, they don't screw up the game, but we'll know pretty soon. I believe the release date is July 10th on that. So let's see. We went over Avatars of War. I got them as a new sponsor. I'd like to shout out for the Joel and Chuck at the Wodcast. And the Dreadnought contest is up next week. So anyway, let's go over this new White Dwarf, or like I've been calling it the last couple episodes, the Waste Dwarf. Because it's... I'm not very happy with it, guys. I'm talking $9 for a commercial. And granted, I've always liked the White Dwarf, so I like looking at the pictures and seeing what's coming out. But sometimes they're just not doing it. Still getting a subscription so I can go over it with you guys, but let's go ahead and take a look at this month's White Dwarf. And we'll go from there. So, for some 40k releases, we have the new Imperial Guard Lehman Russ Battle Tank. It comes with a couple turret mounted weapon conversions and stuff, and apparently it's a little different than the old one, but it's a Lehman Russ, so what more can you expect? Next up, though, we do have the Manticore Rocket Launcher. And this can also become a Death Strike Missile Launcher, and these are pretty snazzy. These are the new toys for the Imperial Guard. And I know there's a lot of people out there playing iGuard and wreaking some hell with the armorless, and it's easy to see why. These models are pretty cool. They have a little open-up crew compartment, and I like that. Always dug it, even since the old days of playing G.I. Joe. And we have Knight Commander Pask. He's coming out. He's available now, and he's pretty cool. You want to add a little special character to your Lehman Russ tank? There you go. Next up, we have the new Eldar Fire Prism. I got a buddy who doesn't like this. He says the Fire Prism gun looks like a crystal penis. Sorry, boys and girls, but there it is. I think it's pretty cool. I don't like that old metal Fire Prism piece. This one looks cool, and I'm a big fan of the plastic inserts for the Games Workshop models. I think they add a nice little depth and realism, especially combined with the windshields on vehicles. So if you're an Eldar player, I like to say I'm sorry first, and you have a new Fire Prism. Next up, we have a Night Spinner. And we have rules for the Night Spinner on page 25, and I'll go over those pretty soon. We got coming out the new Eldar support weapon platforms. I have been a fan, and I like them. And the new catalog, 2010 Citadel catalog. Crap. Black Library releases, we have Bruner, Legends of Space Marines, Hell's Reach, and the Redemption Courts out this month, as well as what looks like a reprint of Fel Cargo by Dan Abnett. I have that one, actually, the original, signed by the man himself. Forge World is releasing some pretty sweet Elysian vehicles, which... if I can swing one or two, I'm going to have to get one because they look snazzy. Let's see. We got William King's coming back to writing for Black Library. And we go into the 40K article. Look, we got the little breakdown of the Lehman Russ tanks, the little bits pieces. And we go, and just a little talk about the new tanks I already talked about. But we have the Night Spinner. What we are looking at here is a Ballistic Skill 3, front and side armor 12, rear 10, tank, fast, and skimmer. It has a weapon called a Doomweaver. Projects a web of monofilament wire over a wide area. Each volley will contain hundreds of not, if not thousands of miles of deadly threads. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Range 12 to 72 inches. We're looking at strength 6. It's a heavy 1. Barrage, large blast, rending monofilament web. And let's see, monofilament web. It's got it after firing a Doomweaver, place a coin or other suitable marker next to any unit hit. The next time these units move, or for whatever reason, they count as being in both difficult and dangerous terrain. Remove the marker from the unit after it has completed its movement. Pretty okay, I guess. We're looking at 115 points as a heavy support. That would be the Night Spinner. And there we go. You can have some Star Engines, Halo Fields, Spirit Stones, and Vecorted Engines, whatever the hell that is, as well as a Shuriken Cannon. So, I'll go ahead and go with that. We have the new Spearhead coming out, or it's already out for it, so expansion for 40K. So if you want to throw your money where your balls are, you can throw some... an assload of tanks out on the battlefield. Kind of Kind of cool, I guess, if you got them, but I don't play a lot of tanks, actually. I might be the only eye guard that doesn't run that many. I do have a bane blade, though, so I do fall guilty of that. Next up, we have Lord of the Rings section. Showing some cool stuff. One day I'll pick up a Lord of the Rings book and figure out how to play it, and we'll go from there. We got the new little preview of the wars coming for the new Fantasy Battles 8th edition. Not too much. Apparently it's going to be the next White Dwarf, pretty big. We go back to a 40K article. A little bit more of Blood Angels Love happening this month as they try and sell some more models. Tank Wars and Apocalyptic Warfare in 41st Millennium. I don't play Apocalypse, so for those I offend by skipping past this, I am sorry. But it looks pretty cool. I mean, if you got a lot of tanks and you want to go through it, I guess it's all your stuff. Then got the Joy of Tanks article, the roundabout, the whole thing by Jervis Johnson. Nice pictures of tanks. And a bad picture of Jervis Johnson. So anyway, we got Tusken Gore. It shows the new Orc Boar Riders. They look pretty cool. Not too bad. And it also goes over the River Trolls, which these are pretty nice, and I can see my wife wanting to paint them and put them together because she likes painting odd stuff, and I'm not going to shoot her down about it because she is pretty decent at it, too. We go over some little bit more, some pack markings after that, some tanks, Lehman Russes, Battle Wagons, Bane Blades, blah-de-da-de-da. We got the Citadel Hall of Fame going over some Lord of the Rings models. And pretty much that's about a waste of $9 and about 7-10 minutes of your time. Next month, new Warhammer Fantasy Battles 8th Edition. Everyone's waiting for that. I know I can't wait to get my hands on it. See exactly how in the hell they screwed my armies, how in the hell they screwed my style of play, and what exactly can I do to enjoy myself again. So we're going to take a quick break, and speaking of my wife, we're going to hear a word from Cool City Games. After the break, we're going to talk a general discussion about using alternate models in your Warhammer Fantasy battles, as well as what does it mean when you're playing different things and how people react. We'll go over that soon, and I'll go over quickly the new Tales of Battle, but what I really want to go through is there is a halfling army list on the inside, and I'll go off a little bit about that, and it's going off in a good way, actually. So I'll be back in a few, and we'll get on to alternate models.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Well, here we are, and we're back, and let's get into the meat of today's show, and this would be alternate models. Now, for those who know what they are, bear with me while I give them a little brief description. And for those who don't, what these are models that you're going to use primarily. We're going to be talking about Warhammer Fantasy Battles right now. But primarily just for hero level characters or special units. I got into alternate models in the hobby once I saw this one game company. They did these models for the Blood Knights, or the Knights of the Blood Keep for vampire counts. And this company is called Game Zone Miniatures. And so this is my first experience with them. And they make these great vampires for use for those, way better than the Games Workshop Blood Knights, in my opinion. These will give your army a specific look, a little bit of character, no pun intended. to make it stand out from the crowd. I mean, there's only so many characters and units that Games Workshop makes, and well, let's be honest. I mean, they're doing a unit of Dryads or Wood Elf Archers. I mean, you don't have a really wide variety of different units to take. So everything in your army is going to be a copycat mirror image of each other. And for those who don't have any skill in green stuffing or conversion, you have to rely on painting or buying other models from different game ranges. Now, for a while, this was pretty rough earlier in the days. The scale of Games Workshop figures were different than True 28s and stuff, so your models were smaller and things just didn't work. But thanks to companies such as Game Zone Miniatures and also Avatars War, we're looking at a wide variety of different hero level and troop choices to run in our armies for Warhammer Fantasy. I mean, we're talking Vampire Counts, Chaos Dwarfs, Dark Elves, High Elves. I mean, the ranges go on and on, and these are not the only two companies that do it. So, using the alternate models, you can really give your army a specific feel, especially if you're in a gaming area and you happen to see something that's unique, and there's a couple people that are playing a specific army, and you come out with this range of models. A lot of people may not copy, but it makes your army stand out from the crowd, let alone what you can do for painting and such. Bad part about this is, if you're ever playing in any Games Workshop sanctioned event, such as Rogue Trader, they do not allow for alternate models. Fortunately enough, there's not a lot anymore, and they're all independent GTs, grand tournaments and such. I know Adepticon, they allow for independent models, I mean alternate models to be used, and the smaller model, which shouldn't say Adepticon is small, it's not, but you know, just a different variety of different event coordinators and stuff will allow for alternate models. These companies, they produce models that are just as good as Games Workshop, or in some instances even better. Like I said, the Knights of Blood Keep alternate models that Games on Miniature has, I think they look better than actual Games Workshop pieces. Some of the Avatars of War, they actually offer models that, well, let's be honest with you, Games Workshop doesn't support the hobby as well as they should. I mean, even if they are putting out their models and such, they're not putting out everything. I mean, 40K players who know for certain, we have this unit in Space Wolves called Thunderwolf Cavalry. I mean, we're talking about Space Marines riding giant wolves. There's none in sight that Games Workshop is even on the plan yet. Blood Angels, we have the gunship that's not even in sight yet. I mean, Games Workshop never has really been up on the ball releasing everything in their army books or the codexes. I remember 5th edition Dark Elves, there was plenty of units that just did not exist. And for Executioners to the Black Guards, I forgot which one it was, I had to go to this plastic range and find this unit for the Black Guard, I believe it was, with the Hellbirds. And everyone had the same pose, but it's all I could come up with, because Games Workshop just did not support the model. With my Wood Elves, I mean, I got a great stag. I got one choice, and the thing looks like a freaking, looks like an angry bull, not a pissed off deer. So, you know, we go into there. Treeman, same thing. It's just like you run into limited on things that you can have multiples in your army, or Games Workshop just does not support it or have the model out right now. So alternate models will actually allow you to branch your army's lookout, give you a certain special feel and character towards your army, and it give you a model that just, in some cases, is not even accessible through Games Workshop. So my hat goes off to these companies, such as the two that I mentioned tonight, and it's a good job. I mean, you bring in a little bit of a level to the hobby that should have been brought over by the company who started it and is promoting it for their own profit and gain. But, you know, you're picking up the ball on this case. A lot of people use these different alternate models for Blood Bowl and such, and we'll get to that soon. And just a little bit off topic, I just picked up the free Blood Bowl. I don't know if it's just a rule book, and I'm going to be giving that a look-see, so we'll talk about that soon. But another thing I like to bring out is I went to the White Dwarf. And if you listen to any other podcasts or mine in the beginning, I'll talk about this magazine called Tales of Battle. It's a small old magazine that focuses around indie tournaments here in the United States. And it goes through, and it's got the high contenders and such. And recently they started to branch out, doing little painting sections and guides. And it's all a color magazine, so you get to see other people, like real people, not heavy metal teams and stuff, paint stuff. But you get to see their armies and such. And then they talk about, you know, the tricks and stuff that they used. The table one and stuff. That's the battle, you know, and it's the little battle reports. But something in this one, and it was in the last issue as well, but it didn't really catch my attention. And I figure since I'm doing a podcast today about alternate models, let's go ahead and talk about what I found in this one. And we have an unofficial indie army list. Basically, what we're looking at here is alternate army for Warhammer Fantasy Battles. And this will be using halfling allied contingents. And I thought to myself, halflings, I like it. Who doesn't like halflings? My dog's war have a hot pop. I love it. Who doesn't like Lord of the Rings? It's up there, too. So I'm looking through, and, you know, sure, lo and behold, there is a whole army list for halflings. And some of the stuff we're looking at is you got the ally contingent special rules, something that we got kind of like we had with the Kislevs. But they got in here halfling special rules. They have woodsmen, being able to move silently through wooded areas, and they suffer no movement penalties moving through any woods, and they move through them as open grounds. They have the thieveling ability and unquestionable appetite. And they got the ogre chums. They can take dogs, war, ogre units as special choices. Friends in high places. They can take a tree men for the wood elf. Army book is for a choice. Hospitable allies, Empire's Dwarfs, Wood Elves, Ogre Kingdoms, and Easy Allies. Well, we won't really go into that. I'd like to just go over a little bit of army selection itself. And, I'll go ahead and I'll lead off with that at the end, my opinion on it. We get a halfling leader. Leadership 10. Stats aren't all that great. He's a halfling. Same with Master Illusionist is your basic wizard. You have a sheriff, which is your hero choice, a burglar, which is your, you know, hero choice as well, and just regular illusionist, which is your small wizard. I'm seeing a lot of, I think Willow when I'm reading this, especially with illusionist. For core, I mean, we're talking pretty decent points here, and we got halflings for 4 points. Hand weapon, they can have bows, and they're running their options at half points, kind of like the Skaven. We have halfling rangers, we got pancake militia, farm swarm, special, we have cattle riders, field harvesters, which kind of remind me of a snotling pump wagon, I think. We have the pie launcher and the halfling hot pot, which I do run the halfling hot pot in my dog's war. It is one of my absolute favorite war machines to use. It's cheap. It's just as reliable as any other stone thrower you have, and it's got character that just goes to boot. Rare, we have a half tank soup cannon, and we got a whole treasures and heirloom section for their magic items. Maybe I'll do a army review on this later. I'll give it a little playtest. I don't have nearly as many halflings as I should. Calls for this army of this size. Maybe I'll do a 1,200, 50-point, 500-point army. But speaking of alternate models, here we go. We have somebody who had the initiative enough to go through and actually make a whole alternate army rule system for independent, whatchamacallit, independent tournaments and stuff. And the rules do look pretty solid. Let's see if I can't see who brought us these rules. Give him a little shout-out. It's good. Good job. By Kevin Coleman. And it's saying here, we want your feedback. And you can go to talesofbattle.com, and I'm going to do that. Anyone who hasn't subscribed to Tales of Battle is a pretty good magazine. They picture the Unseen Lurker on the back and stuff, and I'm probably going to check out that one as well. That's a neat little gaming magazine. It's a little bit more it's all fantasy, no commercial, and it's a good little magazine. And I'm going to lead off today's episode. I'm going to end it with that. And just letting you people out there, especially people who don't know, that you do not have to play with 100% Games Workshop miniatures outside of anything that's a sanctioned tournament. Independent companies out there, such as Avatar War, they bring a quite a good selection of models that can bring character and a uniqueness to your army. And I suggest everyone go ahead and explore that option. It's a fun thing to do. It gives you something unique that you can show off and, you know, like have that moment of glory at the local hobby store or such. So that's going to be it for today's episode. Next up, I think I'll record this weekend. I'm going to do the assault phase for my Art of War Hammer 40K. And we'll probably go over a couple companies that do alternate models. We'll continue this theme for the next one. And I found a company that does a great looking Space Wolf mount for the Thunder Wolf Cavalry. And coming up pretty soon, we're going to be going over Malifaux. And I'm going to be doing one of the independent, not independent games, but actually specialist games, sorry. I'm not going to do Man of War. I think I'll lead it out into War Master. It's one of my favorites. And we'll go over through, and I'll go through the War Master rules and go through a couple games I've been through, and hopefully give somebody an exciting little feature about some of the specialist games Workshop offers. Now remember, the Dreadnought tournament is up this week on the 12th. To enter for that, you have to send me an email and an iTunes review. Email consisting of, you know, what would you like to see in the show, little helpful hints and such. And, you know, and the winner of that will receive a fully painted Warhammer 40K Dreadnought. You can get a hold of me at SeanHammer, the number 9, at yahoo.com. You can follow me on Twitter. You can befriend me on Facebook or actually on the site. And, yeah, please, like I said, the next episodes I'm going to be focused on is going to do a little bit of Malifaux. I'll probably do a Bretonnian proper army book review. I might wait until 8th edition comes out. I'm not sure yet, but yeah, we'll go through that. We're going to do some Malifaux. I'm going to get a game in or two and give that a ride on the podcast as a new player and my ideas about it. And we'll do some War Master. So if you got any ideas, please go ahead and send them in. Those are topics for upcoming show. Not the next one, but the one after that. And, yeah, I'd like to hear from you. Go ahead and send your emails and read them online. And, like I said, my thanks goes out to Avatars of War, a new sponsor for Sean Hammer. A shout out to Joe and Chuck from the Wodcast. Make sure you give them a listen. And until next time, remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game. Darkness.